This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Pick your headline. Bigger companies get another year to arrange health insurance, or many employees have to wait another year to get health insurance.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Employees hoping to get health coverage by next January under the Affordable Care Law could have to wait. But the companies themselves are expressing relief that the Obama administration has put off until 2015 the requirement that firms with 50 or more employees pay for a health plan, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
We've heard concerns about the complexity of the employer mandate, notes a blog entry from the administration's Treasury Department, thus the delay, to the glee of business lobbyists hammering it. The effect?
This definitely delays the pain for a lot of employers.
Georgetown's Sabrina Corlett studies health insurance reforms. Employers now have more time to make tough decisions. They could make plans to cover more workers come 2015. Or they could try to wriggle out of the mandate by laying off workers or hiring fewer full-time workers. For employees, though, their lives should change soon. In half a year, they can go to the new exchanges for insurance.
Even if an employer decides not to offer coverage, the employees will be eligible to go into these exchanges, and they'll be eligible, if they're low or moderate income, they'll be eligible for premium tax credits to help pay for that coverage.
Many companies today wake up to no change. Almost all large employers choose to offer insurance, as do 6 in 10 small businesses. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The government's June report on jobs and unemployment comes out on Friday. This morning, a new tally of layoff notices. John Challenger is CEO of the outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas. He joins us live. Mr. Challenger, good morning.
Good morning, David.
What'd you find for June? Announced layoffs up or down?
They were up. 39,372 layoffs were announced in the month of June. That was up nearly 5% from June a year ago and over 8% from what we saw in May.
Where did these cuts come from? What sectors?
Well, the heaviest cuts came in the computer sector, where employers announced 10,133 job cuts. The biggest growth in cuts is coming from the finance sector this year, first 6 months, up 82% from what we saw last year.
Now, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of reporting, and Washington has been obsessed with the so-called sequester, the imposed austerity under some budget measures. Are you starting to see that in layoff notices?
We have tracked 10,253 job cuts related to the sequester, and they're coming from all kinds of areas, teachers and school districts, prisons that have been shutting down, a uranium enrichment plant, a company that makes the Bradley fighting vehicle in the defense sector. So we are seeing that the government spending is really beginning to impact employment.
And I want to explain, you measure when a company says, let's say we're planning 100 layoffs in the next 6 months, when the folks actually lose the job, that's calculated elsewhere.
It is. We track announcements by companies, and sometimes they take them right away, and sometimes they spread them out and wind them through their system.
John Challenger, CEO of Challenger Gray & Christmas, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
As we reported this week, the Winklevoss twins of Facebook fame want to launch a Bitcoin fund, but they should get in line. Several well-funded entrepreneurs are moving even faster to bring Bitcoin trading to the wider public. As Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports, these believers are not deterred by volatile price swings or the digital currency's cloudy future under new government scrutiny.
Right now, you can buy cupcakes and book hotel rooms online using Bitcoin. In New York's Soho neighborhood, Jaron Lukasiewicz sees much bigger things in store for the digital currency.
I'm the CEO and founder of Coinsetter.
Lukasiewicz's startup is developing a trading system that would launch Bitcoin into the heart of mainstream finance.
You know, the people who I really see becoming interested in Bitcoin and being able to bring it to the next level is really Wall Street.
Coinsetter's system would let Bitcoin be traded like pork bellies or foreign exchange, shorted, hedged, turned into derivatives. Lukasiewicz has already attracted $500,000 in venture capital, and he's going to need it.
We have spent far more on legal fees than your average startup.
Bitcoin circulates in a gray area, and regulators are cracking down. The feds have closed some Bitcoin trading sites for not following U.S. laws to prevent money laundering.
I am hoping that this is a different story than's been told many times before.
Brad Jansen is the director of the Libertarian Center for Financial Privacy and Human Rights. He says previous digital currencies failed.
Basically, government regulation either stifled them and put them out of business or forced them to become something that they weren't intended to be.
Jen Chasky-Calvary is director of the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network at the Treasury Department. She says the federal government is not trying to shut down Bitcoin.
We definitely support innovation, but by the same token, the financial industry has the responsibilities to control for anti-money laundering risks.
The clampdown hasn't choked off trading. Still, Bitcoin investor Josh Shimes says the currency is at a crossroads.
There's a divide between the people who think the soul of Bitcoin is complete freedom and those who feel like that we should work with regulators.
Back in Soho, Jaron Lukasiewicz is in the latter camp of pragmatists.
You have to accept the fact that regulation is inevitable.
Coinsetter's trading system is expected to go live this month. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor for Marketplace.
And you remember the sordid tale of the British-born CEO of Olympus who said he had to flee Japan fearing for his life after he blew the whistle on widespread fraud at the Japanese electronics and optics company? Today, the Japanese chairman of the board of Olympus got a suspended prison sentence for his role in the cover-up. Two deputies got the same sentence. The company's been fined $7 million. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.